Welcome to the CSUSB Advising Podcast. Join us as we bring you the latest advising updates at Cal State San Bernardino. Each episode is specifically made for you, the CSUSB students and parents. We provide you with advising tips, interviews with both CSUSB campus resources and those in academic advising. Sit back and enjoy. Go Yotes!
Hey, Yotes, welcome to our first real episode of CSUSB Advising Podcast. We're super excited for you to be here and super excited for our fall semester to be starting in a couple weeks. My name is Matt Markin. I'm an academic advisor and the graduation pledge coordinator here at Cal State San Bernardino. And let me introduce to you Star Wilds.
Hi, I'm Star Wilds, academic advisor and undeclared coordinator for the Advising and Academic Services Office. I'm so excited about our new podcast. Matt, this is amazing. Long time coming and another resource via our social platforms for our students and parents. This is exciting. What do we have for this podcast, Matt?
We got two great interviews coming up in a little bit, one from financial aid and one from the undergraduate studies office. I'm super excited for the fall to start, but students and parents, are you excited? Are you feeling nervous, anxious? And if you're feeling a combination of all of that, that is natural. We can't wait for our continuing students to experience the semester system. And of course, we welcome all our new Coyotes to the CSUSB family. But Star, just in case anyone missed our preview episode, tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Hi, thanks, Matt. So I am a CSUSB graduate with a psychology degree and also a master's in public administration, concentration in leadership. I've been at CSUSB since 2002. Wow, if you guys could do the math, you maybe can find out how old I am. But I've been truly blessed and honored to work with amazing colleagues to help our students, truly passionate about helping our students. I've held various positions on campus as a student assistant and now in academic advising. Truly love what I do in helping students and parents, right? And just guiding students on their academic journey. So Matt, tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, you hear a lot of people say helping students. And honestly, that is Star. That's the definition. You look up helping in the dictionary, you see Star's face right there.
Likewise, Matt too.
But Star and I kind of grew up here. We started around the same time. So I also started in 2002. I got my bachelor's degree in psychology and my master's in education, more specifically in career and technical education. And I've been working in the admissions office. I've worked in advising academic services now for, goodness, 7 years now as an academic advisor. So really love the campus. It's my home. And I think Star as well will say that this is her home too. I mean, we are Coyotes for life, I think.
Woo-hoo!
And we hope that you enjoy this podcast. You learn a lot from it. Hopefully we'll be able to engage and connect with you through this podcast. But this is being posted on Monday, August 10th. So what do we have coming up to look forward to? Well, hey, the fall semester is going to be starting, but fall semester tuition fees are due August 13th. If you are receiving financial aid, your fees are deferred until financial aid releases the aid. And we're going to get some more information in our upcoming interview with financial aid in a little bit. But also just to let you know, the first day of Saturday classes for the fall semester starts August 22nd. The first day of regular classes start August 24th. And a couple more dates to think about. August 28th is the last day to add open classes for the fall semester through your My Coyote account. And also on August 28th, that's the last day that the waitlist period ends. So what is all of this that we're talking about with adding, with waitlist? Maybe you also have questions about dropping or change of majors. Well, we do have the Office of the Registrar coming up in our next episode. But Star, our first guest, we've had a lot of questions about financial aid. Can you intro us who our first guest is going to be?
Amazing. Thank you so much, Matt. Yes, our guest for financial aid will be Diane Burr. Diane Burr has amazing and wealth of experience in the financial aid office. We've had the honor and privilege of working with her via our live advising sessions on social media, and she is going to be amazing. She's going to share a lot of the information you need to know about financial aid, disbursements, and everything you need to know as far as, you know, the differences between student financial services and financial aid, super excited because I know a lot of students have had questions. And let's, without further ado, let's go ahead and join Diane for her interview.
I'm Diane Bird. I'm with the Financial Aid Office. I am currently the Client Services Coordinator and Advisor in the Financial Aid Office.
Awesome. Well, welcome, Diane, to our podcast. And you've worked in Financial Aid at Cal State San Bernardino. Can you tell us what you find most rewarding about your job?
Most rewarding I find in my job is helping students and getting them success to get their financial aid package in a timely manner and making sure they feel comfortable that they have enough financial aid to cover their tuition and fees, or if they need extra expenses such as for housing or, other things that might come up as far as car expenses or, books.
That is awesome. And I know as we go into this fall semester, semester's new for us all here at Cal State, when should students expect their financial aid to be disbursed? I know this is a very important and a question that we've been asked many times.
Yes, we're getting a lot of those calls. We do starting fall. Usually financial aid disperses about 10 days prior to the term. So we're looking around August 12th to start those disbursements. And we usually tell students to allow 3 to 5 business days for that disbursement to, hit their account and then receive a refund.
One question that we have too is when students have questions about disbursement, is it directly dispersed to them or does tuition, campus fees get taken out first? How does that all work?
Okay, so when financial aid runs disbursement, initially we'll pay any balance they have on their account for that term. It won't go back and pay previous balances as it will only pay that term. So if you had charges for tuition and fees and housing, that financial aid will pay that first. Anything that's remaining then goes to the student. So that's why we encourage direct deposit. That way you get your refund in a timely manner. If they don't have enough financial aid to cover their tuition, we recommend that they pay that difference before the due date of fees. So if they only have enough to cover, if their fees are $3,700 and let's say they only have about $2,500 to cover, they want to pay that difference. And I know that's a lot of questions what we get on student account side because they will go in and try to make the difference, but it gives them the full amount. They just have to edit it and then put the remaining amount that they're going to pay.
That's awesome. Thank you. And I know we've had this question as well. If a student does not see any financial aid via their account and they have turned in all the documents that were requested by financial aid, filed FAFSA, what can a student do?
I would definitely give us a call. So we are, even though we're working remotely through these challenging times, we are on the phones from 8 to 5. And I know recently we've had a little bit of a high volume in calls because, of course, fees are becoming due and they're not seeing their packages. So definitely give us a call, as well as we also have an email that is a general email question, and that's financialaid@csusb.edu. Definitely can email that if you're unable to sit on the phone and wait for a live person to answer. Usually, maybe the wait time, I know I've had her students 45 minutes to wait. But if you definitely want to give us a call, because if you don't have a package right now, it might be because you're pending documentation, or maybe there's something on our side that we overlooked that we need to fix so you can get your aid awarded to you.
Basically, for students, keep trying. It's a high peak season, I guess, right now for financial aid, but they are available. And so if you call, email, you will get some response from their office. Now, one question too that comes up is there's financial aid and scholarships, and there's also student financial services. And I think sometimes there's a confusion in terms of what does each office do? Can you talk about maybe with each department what the differences are?
Okay, so I know the departments get confusing. They used to be called student accounts office, so it was a little bit easier, but then they changed the name to student financials. So then they call us and we're like, no, we don't, do the payment plans. So student financials is directly, they do the payment plans. They do, if you're going to make a payment online, it's to them. Financial aid is strictly awarding you based off your FAFSA and your Dream application. So when we receive those applications, we award students, the Dream students and students who are filling the FAFSA. And then we award it. And then once we run disbursements, then that money is issued to student accounts office, who then pays your tuition, your housing, et cetera. And then the money is then distributed to you if you have a refund. So student financials is the one that disperses. We disperse it. they cut, you know, basically pay the tuition and then cut the refunds. And then they work out the payment plans. Sometimes we have students that might have prepaid their payment. And let's say they got a tuition fee paying program such as Cal Grant or State University Grant later on. That student would be encouraged to call student financials because they may have a credit on their account because they actually had to fill out a form to receive that credit, which is called a refund request form. So just keep in mind, there's some students that still panic with the pending financial aid because they didn't see it dispersed. They go ahead and make their payment. So a lot of times their money will pay and they have this credit, but they won't issue out the credit because they already had paid cash or they paid by credit card. And if it was state funding that paid their tuition, they have to request it where they want the money to go towards back to that credit card or they want to go back to their bank.
For students that need to turn in documentation, I know you had mentioned this before, but how I know if they can fax, they can email. Can you provide that information for us again? How may they be able to turn their documents in?
So right now, if you haven't been awarded financial aid, you might have a to-do list item on your student center. So you want to definitely look at your student center. We actually have a couple tutorials on our Instagram page, which is CSUSBFA, that shows you how to look at your award and your student center via laptop or via your mobile phone. So definitely want to look at that because that's a big question that we get. I can't see anything. I don't know where to go. Do I go to my financials? Do I go to my account? How do I review that? But if you have a to-do such as verification or citizenship documentation or selective service, anything that we're requesting, you want to either fax it, which is the numbers 909-537-7024. Or definitely you can mail it. We do pick up mail and faxes about twice a week. However, we're still having the incoming information. So we're all departments in enrollment management are working closely together to make sure that we get all the documents in and forwarded to staff to process. So either it's through fax, either through mail, or it might be through our enrollment management Dropbox right outside of University Hall, which is the primary entrance. We're getting a lot more documents in that Dropbox. I think it's more convenient for students. And at least they know. Fax machine, I'll be honest, you know, fax machine, you just never know. Even though you get that confirmation, it's like, okay, you know, we've had a few students. So I always advise either you want to do it two ways. You maybe do fax and then maybe come by and put in the Dropbox. But you always want to make sure you put it in an envelope sealed, attention financial aid, and make sure in all your documents, your student ID number is in there. We have students dropping off just like we just need parents' taxes. So they drop off the taxes in the envelope, but they don't put the student's ID number. So we do research. We do, you know, we can find the student, but it would make us easier if you would just, you know, put the student ID number on everything. That way it's easy for us to track it and make sure we get the paperwork and done in a timely manner. But those are the three sources. Now, I do have staff that will email a student. I need this additional documentation signed. And as long as it's not has a lot of private information, such as tax returns, if it's just a simple form needing their signature or checkbox, they missed a checkbox off the verification worksheet, we just say, you know, go ahead and email it to my personal email. I mean, I personally have had that with students where they've had a statement missing from their SAP appeal. And so I've just said, hey, you know, why don't you just go ahead and email it to us? Because sometimes we can work that out with you. And we do receive emails through the general one. We just hate for you to submit confidential information through the email because you just never know.
Definitely great advice. And I think the Dropbox for sure is a great addition to have, especially during this current time. So at least they can go right outside University Hall, put in the Dropbox. They know it's safe and secure and that there is representatives that are checking throughout the week. Now, you talked about email and I talked about phone earlier. So a question with that too is with students contacting financial aid, whether they're contacting via the phone or email, I guess with email, when you mentioned general questions for email, they email anything specific for their specific financial aid package or something specific for them, would you rather have them call or can they still be answered through email?
So with I work the financial aid scholarships emails as well with the associate director. Mm-hmm. And she pretty much we work on them daily. So anything that's maybe a general question, like where do I find my financial aid award? Or where to, when are disbursements? But if it's specific to like verification or their SAP appeal, then we direct it to that staff member. So that staff member then usually replies to that student individually. So I get a lot of emails forwarded if our associate director is working, and it's based on alpha, right? So a lot of us work with an alpha basis for our students. So we look at the information. I get probably daily emails that I respond to the student, and some of these students need appointments. So a lot of them are requesting, you know, I really need to talk to a staff member. I really need to go over my appeal. I need to go over my verification. And so we'll respond such an email, and I will ask, okay, you know, I've got your email. I've read your, you know, questions. When would you like to set an appointment? And then they go email me back, and that's availability. So we do Zoom appointments. We do phone appointments, whichever is comfortable for the student, especially students right now with special circumstances. So we have a lot of students in these trying times with COVID. A lot of students and parents have lost their jobs, or they've been furloughed, or they're just going through a financial situation versus, and because FAFSA is 2 years, right? So FAFSA, you put in 2018 information. Well, a lot has changed from 2019, 2020. So we do have a link on our website that they can fill out a special cases application. And then that directly is going to the financial aid advisor who specializes in those special circumstances. And then they'll set up an appointment to talk to that student to see what type of information that we can do to help. Because again, a lot of these students, things have changed, or it could be, you know, a parent had passed away, or a divorce, anything that is a special circumstance. We have students that are foster youth students. We have students that are don't have contact with parent, and they may need to get in with a financial aid advisor for an appointment. So they definitely can email that general email or fill out the special cases on our website. It's under award. I think it's under our main office page, current students. I think it's under award processing, and a little link will show special cases. And right there, they'll have to log into My Coyote, fill out your information, and that goes directly to a manager. And then that manager will then forward that to that team to get a hold of the student. And usually it's about 24 hours, 48 for that staff member to get back to them. But if it's after that, they should be contacting us again, like, hey, I reached out, I still haven't heard. Definitely they want to keep in contact with us, because I have students, well, you know, I've called three times, or, you know, and that's where we don't want that to happen to a lot of students. You know, we want to be able to make sure that they're heard and make sure that their circumstance is taken care of, because we are in this, you know, pandemic.
Thank you so much. That's a great resource for students and for them to know about that. That's great. Thank you so much, Diane. Okay. Another question that we've had is scholarships. How can students apply for scholarships? Can you let us know a little bit about how students can apply for scholarships and where they can apply?
Right now for the on-campus scholarships, that is, unfortunately is already closed for the academic year for 2021, but we're looking for the future. It opens up November 1st, 2020. So it kind of lines up with your FAFSA, because FAFSA, and I still get this question, oh, FAFSA opened in October? Yeah, like you want to work on it at midnight on October 1st. No, just kidding. but definitely want to fill it out on October 1st. Dream application opens October 1st. But the scholarships is a little bit, we kind of say November 1st. And then the priority deadline and the deadline for scholarships is March 2nd of every year. So those are on-campus scholarships. It's a very easy process. And we do, I'm not sure how we're going to be doing our workshops this year. I know it's going to be virtual, but we'll definitely be doing those workshops to kind of show you how to click on the link on your student center to apply for those scholarships. Now, there's a lot of off-campus scholarships that you can go to through search engines, and we have those available on our website as well under other aid, I'm assuming. But as far as, you know, definitely look around. There's different types of places, Southern California Edison. I know Cardenas is giving out scholarships. So there's a lot of different areas in the Inland Empire themselves that give out scholarships.
And I think the way to look at it is like there's money in a lot of different places, scholarships, grants, you know, even loans. Now, as we get kind of towards the end of this interview, one of the questions that has come up a lot, especially with continuing students, is SAP. And they might look on their to-do list and they see failed SAP or academic plan. Can you tell us what SAP is? And if students, if it shows on their to-do list, can they still do an appeal for SAP?
Okay, so SAP's Federal Academic Progress, we run every year. It's because it's mandated by the Department of Ed that we go by the quantitative and the qualitative standard, right? So it's basically looking at earned units versus attempted. And it's also looking at your two-year GPA. So two-year GPA is about 2.0. So the earned units versus attempted, if you fall under a certain percentage as an undergrad or a post-bac, then you do fail SAP. If you're over terms, and I know the conversion between quarter and semester was a little bit like, what do you mean? I last year I wasn't at 270, right? But now I'm at down at 180. So now I'm not meeting staff because I'm over the units because I'm going to graduate, but I'm now over. And post-bac students were, at the term. So now it's down to 8 terms versus the 9 terms. So it's a conversion for everybody, right? To learn from the quarter versus semester. So with the satisfactory academic progress, they usually will get a notification around July 1st of every year. And we have 2 different types. We have students and we have also EOP students that come into this category. The difference is the EOP students who don't meet satisfactory academic progress, they actually have to notify EOP office and they have to meet with their EOP counselor. They wouldn't send that information to our office. But for other students, they do need to submit the information. When they were given the letter, they had 15 days to turn in that appeal from the time that they received the letter that they failed SAP. After those 15 days, the financial aid was canceled. Doesn't mean that they're not going to get the financial aid. However, they had a time frame. They need to submit the appeal form if they haven't yet already. And if they have an academic plan, which I know a lot of offices are pretty open in getting that signature to the students through Adobe. So I haven't seen a lot of students that have that problem, but if you're having that problem getting the academic plan, at least submit the appeal and your statement. And then once you get the academic plan, you can submit it later. We just want to make sure you get that information in because you fall in that 15-day window. So appeal processing happens when a committee reviews them. They look at the circumstances of why the student had dropped courses. And again, a lot of the rules on our website for failing SAP is you're looking at grades too, like the Fs and no credits. And I know a lot of students did the no credits. We had a choice, no credit or credit due to COVID, right? So unfortunately, those students who got the no credits, that fell into that SAP rule. So a lot of times we see students that, drop because of COVID and they have their statements and there's something that's reviewed and looked at, right? But usually there's a turnaround around 7-10 business days on these appeals. It's not more than 4 weeks. So we're trying to get those turned around as soon as possible. And if we need additional documentation, we let them know. But they have to make sure they have everything turned in the statement. If they want to provide supporting documents, such as, it was a child care issue, they want to, provide a statement from child care or provide a statement from an employer, they can do that. We don't mandate it, but we recommend any supporting documentation and a statement, a statement just why you felt that. How are you going to overcome and be successful the next year and how, they can get some assistance. And sometimes we refer them to different departments on campus when we approve the appeal.
I know that we had a lot of questions and a lot of the questions that were shared via our social media outlets from students that we've met with. And again, we are just so happy that you're able to join us via this podcast. And thank you so much again, Diane. You really answered a lot of these questions, which will definitely help our students.
Thank you for letting me join in.
And thank you so much, Diane, for providing us information about financial aid. We are truly, again, so grateful that you're here with us to provide us with this amazing information that students and parents need to know about. So, Matt, who will be joining us next?
Yes, thanks, Star. So our next guest is Dr. Leslie Davidson Boyd. Leslie is currently the interim dean and AVP for undergraduate studies at CSUSB. She is also a faculty member at the University of Redlands, teaching in the graduate counseling program. She is a counselor by trade and specializes in clinical issues affecting women and marginalized populations. Her research, teaching, and clinical work focus on the importance of mentorship and self-reflection in the development and self-efficacy and a sense of belonging in higher education. She completed her PhD in counselor education and supervision and her master's degree in career and clinical counseling. Leslie is a proud first-generation student and a CSU alumni from the Inland Empire region of Southern California. Leslie, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're glad that you're able to be on our first episode. This is going to be, I think, a really good interview, and I think you'll have a lot of great advice for our students. But I think for students and even parents, before we jump into a lot of the questions to kind of get to know you, you've been at Cal State for a few years now. You worked in various departments, including like the Career Centers, College of Natural Sciences, and now undergraduate studies. Can you kind of walk us through that journey of Leslie at Cal State San Bernardino and then where you're at now?
Sure. Yeah. It's actually been 10 years. In November, it'll be 10 years.
Yeah. Congrats.
So far, I'm still here. So I started off as a career counselor in the Career Center, and then I also would coordinate all of our fairs. So when we would bring employers to campus for hiring and things like that. And actually, when I was hired at Cal State, it was right in the middle of really, really bad budget times. There was only three of us that worked in the entire Career Center, and we kind of held all that together. Thankfully, it's thrived, and it's much bigger now. After working there, I actually went over to the College of Natural Science, and I worked with the Health Professions Advising Center. Actually built it, so it was a brand new office, and I got to go in and just create it. And we just helped students that were interested in going into health careers. So anything having to do with from being a doctor, a nurse practitioner, any of those types of graduate programs. But it was really fun for me because it kind of brought together my interests because my undergrad's in biology. And then my master's and PhD are both in counseling. So it was able, like I was able to help people in the sciences. So I always had a lot of fun doing that. After being there for a few years, I did that job. And then I also became the director of student success for the College of Natural Sciences. So I handled academic grievances or when students were having, you know, need some help and advocacy with professors, things like that. And then a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago now, I came over and I joined the UGS family. I started out as assistant dean, and I remember telling myself, this is good. This is the highest I want to go in my career right here. And then a year later, I got promoted to associate dean, and I was like, no, okay, really, this is good. This is the highest. Now I'm the dean and interim dean and AVP for undergraduate studies, which I have to say I'm thankful and really lucky because I've worked with some amazing people on campus, but I think the people in undergraduate studies have more heart than anyone. So I could not do the work I do without all of you.
And as we look into, again, we're starting fall and semester. You know, Matt and I have been used to this quarter system, quarter advising. Now we're going to go into fall semester. So with fall term being mostly virtual, it's a virtual environment, right. And the exception to a few labs and art theater classes is going to be on campus. What advice can you give new students starting out at CSUSB and also continuing students?
Yeah, it's a rough time. So not only are, like you said, we're converting and we're remote, so it's really the craziest of all worlds, but I think the best advice I could give is just to be patient with the process. It's new for everybody, and then it's doubly new because of the virtual. As you mentioned, we have only about 1% of our classes will be in person. So, you know, that's not a lot. So pretty much I'm guessing most of your schedules will be online. We do have some awesome stuff that's been happening over the summer. Our faculty have been going to different conferences and learning communities to learn how to better teach online. But, you know, we're all doing the best we can right now, which is why I say be patient. And I think the other piece is don't give up. I think that you might have a rough semester, you might have a great semester, but either way, you will make it through, and this won't be the way that it is forever. Especially if you're a first-time freshman, I know that it's a letdown. Like, it's hard because you may have thought your college experience would be one thing, and now here we are. So I think that's difficult. I actually have a nephew that graduated from high school this year, and he's going into college, and I know for him it's been difficult because of that. So it's so different than what you picture. But be patient. Know it's not forever. It's just temporary. And know that you'll get through. And at the end of the day, you'll get the classes you need to be able to be on your way to get your bachelor's and have this huge, great life ahead of you. And it'll all seem like a blip at the end of the day.
And speaking of advice, so you have your advice for students. Sometimes we want to think about also the parents as well. So do you have any advice that you would give parents for our CSUSB students, how they might be able to support their children that are attending Cal State in this virtual environment?
Yeah. So I think anytime you're a parent where you have a college student in general, the number one thing is just to try and understand it's a huge transition. And even though it's a very positive thing, it's hard. You know, it's different than anything that's happened in the past, especially if you're a brand new student. So being there and just supporting your student emotionally, letting them know that it'll be okay, like I'm here for you. The one thing that I think is hugely different right now with the virtual environment is that people need a space. So they need a quiet space that can have to be able to really focus and study. And that's hard. It's hard with bustling households. But anything you can do to provide that, even if it's only for an hour or two a day, is fantastic. And the other piece is, you know, you should feel good, like congratulate yourself, because even though we're in the middle of a global pandemic, and even though there's, you know, all sorts of crazy things happening, you still have, you know, have the privilege of being the parent of someone that's heading into college and that has made the decision to really better their lives.
Absolutely. And thank you for that. And as we look into the advising structure for first and second year students, can you let us know a little bit more about that, or can you talk about that?
Sure. So it's unprecedented. So the first time in our history at CSUSB, we actually have quite a few professional academic advisors. And what that equates to, if you're a student or a parent, is meaning that you're going to get a much more tailored, direct program plan. So knowing what to take, when to take it, to be able to graduate in the manner that you want to, whether it's 2 4-years or 6 years or 2 years if you're a transfer student. But having all these people here to advise you can really help with that. So one of the things that the university chose to do this year, and we're pushing this forward into semesters, is to make sure that we have a structure that supports students with where they're at. So for students that are 0 to 44 units, you will be seen by our amazing advisors and advising and academic services. They will help to get you started on the GE courses that you need. And then in addition to that, they'll start the pattern of what you need for prereqs and things like that with your major, as well as making sure that you're aware of the different types of academic regulations, if there's forms you need to fill out, all of that kind of stuff. Once you hit 45 units and above, you will then go to your college professional advisors. Now, those advisors can still help you with anything in terms of understanding academic rules and petitions, but the other piece that they have is they work more closely with the academic department. So if you're a biology major and you go to your professional advisor in the College of Natural Sciences, they work more directly with the people that are teaching you those biology classes. And because of that, they understand more about the sequencing and those pieces. So the hope is that by the time you hit that mark, you have what you need in terms of your basic skills and in terms of your basic GE structure, and you're ready for that next step. Now, the third layer that just sort of permeates over the whole thing is our faculty advisors. And faculty are amazing mentors, and especially if you want to do anything that has to do with research, volunteer work, those pieces. So at different points along your journey here, you will be interacting with your faculty, and you, of course, like anyone else, will have certain faculty that you're closer to than others, and you will find great mentors with that. But really what we've tried to do is create a whole support network for students so that you have your professional from the moment you get to campus till when you graduate. And I will tell you too, most of the time our advisors are there to cheer you on when you're graduating as well. So we really, really enjoy going through this whole process.
The way I look at it from what you said is that at every step of the way for students, there's going to be some sort of assistance. There's going to be an advisor, whether it's a advisor and advisor in academic services or a college professional advisor, a faculty member, there's always someone that's going to be able to assist them with any questions and make sure that they guide them down the road to graduation, because ultimately that's the major goal, is to be able to walk across that stage and graduate.
Yeah, and then to add on to that, we also have some great colleagues in student affairs. So we have some wonderful support services, so not just social things like clubs and organizations, but also we have other support services or, you know, ways that we can help you. The other thing that we offer that is your academic advisor can really help with getting you connected with are things like our academic support services. So tutoring, mentoring, peer mentoring services, supplemental instruction. We have all sorts of supports to help you not only know what to take, but to be successful in what you're taking so that you can move along your path.
With undergraduate studies, there's USTD 1000 classes. And so some students might search for a class and they might find a University Studies 1000 class or even a 2000 class. Can you talk about those classes?
Sure. So our USTD 1000 class, it's newly imagined. So we used to have it in the quarters, but it was a little bit different. It's our freshman learning community. And so what these are designed to do is they're one unit courses that are voluntary for you to take, but what they're meant to do is explore specialized topics. So they change all the time. But this year, what our offering is social justice, activism, and technology. So I think it folds in really nicely with what we're seeing right now in the larger scale within not only the US, but really around the world in terms of social justice. So the 1,000 classes tend to be that, and also will infuse with that, though, the special topics. You'll also learn about some of the basic skills that you need to be successful in college, as well as exploring different types of majors and careers as they fit within those different topics. Now, the USTD 2,000 classes are sophomore success courses, and those are courses that are more specialized. The one that we're offering this year is more geared towards career pathways, so looking at different types of careers that you can explore. And then it will be much more in depth in working you through like the process with career counseling and things like that too. But again, those shift, they do change year to year. I'm really excited because this year we have two brand new offerings, and I know they're both going to be really impactful. We have some great instructors. Our social justice and activism one, not only do we have some of our CSUSB staff members, but we also have a couple of activists from the community that are going to come in and teach for us as well. So we've been able to put together what I think is a really nice program. But keep your eyes open. We also want to offer these courses in the spring, which is new. We've traditionally only offered them in the fall. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to have more offerings like this in the future.
Good. So like if a student misses out on getting the class for fall, there's probably a good chance that they'll be able to get that class for the spring, because they might hear about it a little bit later. Maybe they'll find out from a friend or something, and then it's like, oh, I wish I could take that class. It sounds like something I could really benefit from, but they might have an opportunity in spring.
Absolutely. Yep, that's our plan.
And then one of the questions that probably come up is like, it sounds like a great class. It's something I would want to take. Is it baccalaureate level?
It is, yes. So you do get college credit for it. Like I said, it's one unit, two units for the 2000 class. You can take it multiple times too. And what's cool about learning communities is, although the topics might be the same, because it's not a course in the traditional sense, you can take the same class twice and have a very different experience and learn very different things each time too. So it's a nice, they're elective units essentially. So you can take it up to three times and get three elective units. But, and the other kind of pro tip for all you out there is, it's a one unit course that won't have a ton of work to it. So if you need a unit for financial aid, this is the way to go, because it's not going to be too demanding. And that's the type of advice academic advisors will give you. So that's why you want to talk to them. But it's a good class just to kind of get your feet wet on a topic too.
Yeah. And for many majors, a lot of times the general education requirements and the major requirements don't necessarily add up to enough units for graduation, where thereby a lot of the majors, students will still need elective units for graduation, and this could be also a great way to get some of those units for the electives towards graduation.
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. And of course, this question comes up in our advising appointments and during online new student orientation, is, will spring 2021 semester be online? That's a billion, trillion dollar question right now.
Yeah, it is. And I would like to say, no, I think it'll be in person, but I don't honestly know. Obviously, none of us knows what the future holds, because we never thought we'd be at this place to begin with. I do know that it's the official stance of the Cal State right now is that we are definitely remote through December. So we'll find out what happens then. Our campus has been fairly good. Our president's been fairly good about communicating any news that we have. So I'm sure as soon as we know, the students, you'll be contacted. There's some new technologies that we're using that actually have been really helpful. And you may have seen these pop up over the summer, but we have push alerts. So one thing you might want to do is download, and I'm sure they told you this at orientation, but download the My Coyote app, because there's some cool stuff that you can get through there, but the push notifications will tell you things like that if we're going to be remote or in person. I think either way, the best part of it is, whether we're online or not, is we're getting better at figuring out how to offer classes virtually right now. And again, it won't be forever. We're not going to become a completely online university. So it's just a matter of kind of figuring out where we're at, and being able to kind of be in the moment of not knowing, which is difficult, but it's a good life lesson, I hear. So I like knowing things too. So I'm good with it.
So basically stay tuned on the spring 2021 semester, what will happen. But Dr. Leslie Davidson Boyd, we really appreciate you being on for the podcast, especially being our first podcast. So thank you so much for joining us. So you gave a lot of great tips. I wish when I was a student, I had that social justice class I could take. So really jealous for it. I'm glad that our students now have that opportunity for it. I think it'll be really, in a sense, and I'm not doing a cliche, but life-changing for them.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm honored. I'm sure it'll be an awesome podcast.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care. And thank you again to Leslie for joining us from Undergraduate Studies and also to Diane Bird from Financial Aid. Again, Yodis, we hope you learned a lot. And, you know, hopefully if you have any questions, reach out to us through our social media, specifically through CSUSB Advising. Find us everywhere from Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, anything else I might be missing. I don't know, Star, but can you give us an update on our next episode, episode 2?
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you. So episode 2, we're so excited. We have guests from the Office of Registrar. So if you want to know about waitlisting, if you want to know about registration, anything related to that, we have our amazing colleagues from Office of the Registrar. So please join us in our next episode and find out more information about Registrar.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting platform. You can also find us on the Buzzsprout website. See you next time.
See ya.